We're into our second sermon on the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is an amazing book, and we looked 2 weeks ago at Ruth chapter 1, which really unpacked one of the most important biblical words that we have, this Hebrew word hesed, which is God's faithful love. The love of God. The friendship of God. And we looked at that last week. This week, in chapter 2, we look at another important biblical word. The word that we know as grace or favor. And this chapter 2 looks at what that word means biblically. What does God's grace, what does God's favor look like? But we're going to read chapter 2. Forgive me, it is a lovely story, this story of Ruth. So I'm going to read the whole of chapter 2. Chapter 1 talks about who may be described as some of the unluckiest people in the Bible. Naomi, with her husband, moved to a foreign land because there was a famine. That's pretty unlucky. She moved to a foreign land and her husband died. That's pretty unlucky. She then moved, then her two sons who had married, they also died. And so she was left in an alien country all on her own with two daughter-in-laws. She decided to return home. And when she returned home, she took one of her daughter-in-laws, Ruth, with her. But when they returned home, it wasn't going to be a great celebration and joy when they came because there was no one to look after them. They were going to head back into poverty and hunger. Not particularly a good place to be. But we read at the beginning of chapter 2, as they returned, what happened? And so let's read it, Ruth chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, you have a church Bible, it's on page 267. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find," what's that word? Favor, grace. Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvester, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi," she said. "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." "She came into the field and has remained here from morning to till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in any other field and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes so that you may notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and you did not, and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they're finishing harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. I hope you get a glimpse of what that passage, amazing story, a lovely story. Do go home and read the whole of the book. It is just a lovely story. But for us, it speaks volumes of God and his ways. I came across this picture, because they tell me that icy is the easiest word to spell. The word icy, they tell me, is the easiest word to spell. And thinking about it and looking at it, I see why. Some of you have got that. Some of you may need to think a little bit more. I see why the letters. No, okay, no. And as we come to this book and this chapter in particular, I want you to see the obvious. I want you to see how is it we receive favor. How is it we receive grace? Because that's the whole purpose of this chapter, to ask the question, how do we receive favor and grace? Naomi and Ruth, as I introduced, were probably some of the unluckiest women you could think about. Things were not going well for them. Circumstances, situation, everything was against them. And yet we begin to see chapter 2, which leads on to the rest of the story, how they turned and received grace and favor. And the whole of chapter 2 is actually written so that you begin to center on that question. Because it has what we call a chiastic structure. In other words, the beginning and the end match up in themes. So the beginning looks at what's going to look ahead in favor. The end looks at what actually that favor looked like. Then it goes on to a declaration of blessing, and then towards the other end of the chapter, moving backwards, you have that blessing seen in provision. You then, moving down the chapter, look at Ruth's request for provision, and then moving upwards, you see that request responded to. And then right in the middle of this chapter, you have these verses of chapter, verse 10. "At this, Ruth bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked Boaz, 'Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me?'" And so the whole of this chapter is to center on that verse, to help us understand how can we be recipients of grace. And I don't know about how you see your life at the moment, whether you see the situations, you're a bit unlucky, things are going against you, life is hard. How can we put ourselves in a place of grace and favor? And that's what this chapter is all about. And can I suggest at the outset, it talks about four things that we're going to look at. I've alliterated four S's, easy for you to remember. The way we move to receive grace and God's favor and God's grace upon our lives is scripture, is savior, is sovereignty, and is supper. Okay? Scripture, Saviour, sovereignty, and supper. That's how we become recipients of God's favour and grace. So let's look at them. The first is Scripture. Scripture is the way that leads us to receive God's grace, the first part of that. We read here that Ruth, the first thing she did was to ask her mother-in-law whether she could go out and glean in the fields. Whether she could go and pick up the leftover grain. Why did she choose to do that? How did she know to do that? Well, no doubt she had learned from her husband and her father-in-law and Naomi herself, God's scripture, God's word. And Deuteronomy 24:19 tells landowners when they harvest to not go to the edges, to not go and get everything, but to leave some for the poor and the widows. Check it out, Deuteronomy 24:19. So therefore, Ruth, I think, knew the scriptures, knew her Bible, and so when she made that request, she knew that that would be a way that God's blessing could come upon it. Because we read that in verse 12, Boaz says to her, "May you be richly rewarded by the Lord of God, the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." She had thrown her lot in to the God of Israel. She'd thrown her lot in to come under his protection, his provision, and so she came under the scripture. She came under and knew something of God's word, and she put it into practice. And she came. And as she came and obeyed Scripture, she was led to meet, as we've already indicated in chapter 1, this man of standing whose name was Boaz. It was Scripture that, can I put it this way, that led her to her Saviour, her Redeemer. And that's how we can learn to come under God's favour and grace. As we begin with this Bible, as we begin with Scripture and the promises and provision of God. But that alone is not enough. Because we see in this story that this Scripture led her to meet Boaz. It was as she read the scripture and lived out the scripture that she met her Saviour, her kinsman redeemer. She met her Saviour. Paul in the New Testament says scripture is our teacher, is our guardian, is the one who leads us to Christ. That's the purpose of Scripture. This book is here to introduce you to Jesus. This book here is all about Jesus so that you can know him, so you can have a relationship with him, so you can meet him. That's what the children looked up in John. John says he's written his gospels that we may know Jesus and the life that comes from believing in him. Luke says that we may know the certainty. Jesus says, these are the scriptures that testify about me. So why aren't you coming to me? Because the scriptures should lead us to our Saviour. Because this chapter 2 is introducing Boaz. Literally, his name means in him is strength. We read already at the beginning, he is a man of noble standing. Whether that's character or whether that's resources, I think it probably is both, as we learn to see. This is her Saviour. And Scripture led her to him. And this Scripture leads us to know Jesus. If you want to know Jesus, if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus, if you want to get him to know, if you want to know him better, it is this book that will lead you to him. But let us notice that though it was Scripture that led her to Boaz, it wasn't her who noticed Boaz. We read initially that it was Boaz who noticed her, who was looking for her. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvest, "Who does that young woman belong to?" He noticed her. And can I say, that's the gospel. That Jesus, our Saviour, our Redeemer, notices you. He sees you. And he comes and says, "Who are you? Who is that?" He is drawn to you. He immediately loves you. He notices you. You are not just another person. You are not inconsequential. You are not just one of the hundred of the millions and billions of people. You are noticed by your Saviour, by your Redeemer. He sees you. But can I also say, not only does Scripture lead us there to our Saviour, but our Saviour is already looking for you, is already waiting. And also, can I say, he is also speaking to you. He's also speaking to you. Because we read verse 8, "So Boaz said to Ruth, 'My daughter, listen to me.'" So Scripture has led her to a Saviour, but a Saviour has already seen her, and her Saviour, and we don't know what happens. I quite want to know what happens between verse 7 and 8, because he's talking to his servant, and then suddenly he's speaking to her. There's no explanation that he's happened to wander around to her and see her. It's suddenly straight to Boaz speaking to Ruth. And that is what Jesus does. Jesus comes and he sees you and he speaks to you. And he speaks your name. He speaks, "My daughter, my child, my son, listen to me." And as we read Scripture, and as we come to what Scripture encourages us to, and maybe as we come to church and worship and hear Scripture, and we come in this place where Jesus is present, Jesus knows you, okay? Jesus sees you. Maybe your first time here. You may be here regularly and think, "No one really notices me or knows me." Jesus sees you. But more than that, Jesus is speaking to you. Can you hear him? It's a lovely verse in Revelation where there's a great painting, "Jesus, Light of the World" by Holman Hunt, which depicts this lovely verse where Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock." Again, it's a strange verse. But anyway, "I stand at the door, and if anyone hears my," not knock, "my voice, I will come in and eat with them." Jesus is speaking. And when we come to God's word, when we come in his presence, round his table, when we come to this place where two or three are gathered in his name and he is here, whoever we are, Jesus sees you. And Jesus is speaking to you. He's saying, "Listen to me." The question is, are we listening? Or are we too worried about making money, making food, surviving, all that's going on in our life, that actually we're missing that Jesus sees and he speaks to you? Because that's our Saviour. And Boaz is pointing us to that Jesus. He is the Saviour. Jesus is our man of standing. This scripture about Boaz, as we saw last week, Ruth depicts the love of God in Christ through hesed and friendship. So here, Boaz depicts the redeeming love of Jesus, the man of noble standing, the man above all men, Jesus. How do I know that? Well, I'll give it away. We'll look at this in 2 weeks' time. But Ruth 4 tells us that this book is all about the Messiah. This book is all about the line of the Messiah. If you want to read the end like I do before you get through the book, you'll see the last verse tells you that this book is all about the line of the Messiah, the real man of noble standing. So Scripture leads us that we can encounter a Saviour who already is looking, who is already calling. And that's that Jesus. The third word, can you remember what the third word was? Anyone remember? We had Scripture, Saviour, Sovereignty. Because this chapter is also about God's sovereignty. Because we have a problem, and if you're a Bible student, we have a problem. Have you got my image, the video of the two evolving ladies? Someone sent me this on Facebook, and I thought it was quite funny. If you look at this optical illusion, if you look on the left picture, it looks like all the women are going round in a clockwise direction. But if you look at the right picture, it looks like they're all going in an anti-clockwise direction. See that? Look at the left one, they all look like they're going clockwise. Look at the right one, they all look like they're doing anti-clockwise. So are they going clockwise or anti-clockwise? And that messed me up all day when I saw that, but don't, I think we better turn it off now so we don't confuse it. There's the explanation on YouTube if you want, but you can come on to that. But in a sense we have this quandary in Scripture to actually say, to receive God's grace, is it because of faith? Is it because she read Scripture, she understood Scripture, and she obeyed Scripture? Or is it because Boaz saw her? So in other words, is it dependent on Ruth that she received God's grace, or is it dependent on Boaz? And we have this idea of, when I receive God's grace, is it dependent on something I do, or is it totally dependent on God? And can I suggest, it is actually the third theme in this book that sums it all up, which is the sovereignty of God. Because we read in verse 3, "So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvest. As it turned out," it says in the NIV, literally the Hebrew is, "as her chance chanced upon," as her chance chanced upon, just as it happened, by chance, by coincidence, just as it was, it happened to be the field of Boaz. And then we read verse 4, just then, just so happened, just at that moment, just at that time, Boaz came. So overall, Ruth, looking at Scripture, Ruth's response to Scripture, Boaz the Saviour, over it all, we have the sovereignty of God. This chapter, God is working. God is working. Working in Ruth, working through the Saviour. God is working. Because this is the sovereignty of God. That God is in control. God loves you. God sees you. God is working His favour upon you. Why? Why is God doing that? Because we choose to be under His wings, as Ruth did. That's the whole explanation. Not because she did things, but what she did showed that she was putting herself under God's refuge, under the wings of God. She was choosing to come under there, under God's sovereignty, and in that sovereignty, her faith and Boaz's grace came together. That's the sovereignty of God. Eugene Peterson puts it like this, that actually faith and grace, it's not just active, where it all depends on me doing something. me reading scripture, me believing, me understanding. It's not passive where I don't have to respond at all. In Greek, there's another tense, not the active, not the passive, but what's called the middle. The middle tense where you respond to the active. Where someone does something to you, but it's a willed response that you show to it. And that's called the middle voice. So, for instance, the middle voice would say, the active is, I counsel someone. The passive is, I am counseled by someone. The middle voice is, I take counsel. And can I suggest that's the sovereignty of God? Where he acts in grace, he gives me faith, and they come together, and I receive the favour, the abundance of God. Because that's what this chapter is about, that favour of God is abundance. That favour of God is provision, is protection. The favour of God is, despite the difficult circumstances, the difficult situations, Jesus meets us and redeems us. We'll leave more about that next week, what it means that he is our kinsman redeemer. But he rescues us out of our poverty. He fills us with abundance. And we are protected and we are blessed. That's the place we come to. And that way, we encounter him. Do you know that Jesus? Have you met that Jesus? Scripture will lead you to him. But he's already looking for you. And he speaks to you. And are you going to respond this morning? Are you going to hear that voice? And come under his provision, his protection? Because that's what he calls us to in the sovereignty of God. And can I say, that's how we come to faith. But Scripture says, just as we come to faith, that's how we should continue in him. So if you need grace in your life today, if things are overwhelming you, if you are going through difficult times, you feel you're the unluckiest person in the world, things in your family are going wrong, things at work are going wrong, everything is up in the air, you don't know what to do, you are in need of God's grace this morning, what do? You turn to Scripture. You rely on Scripture to give you the promises of God. You meet the Saviour. You know that Jesus is for you, is with you. He is able to deliver you. He is able to provide. He is able to help. Allow the promises of Scripture to lead you to Jesus. And then trust in the sovereignty of God. That there are no coincidences. There are no accidents. God is working. God is in control. Things happen according to his purposes and plans as I allow the Scripture to lead me to the Saviour and I trust in the sovereignty of God. Is life tough at the moment? Read the Scripture. Meet Jesus here today and trust that he is working sovereignly. He will turn out those coincidences. He will cause people to change their hearts and their minds. He will work for his glory. That's what it's about. Romans 10 says that faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of Christ. It's as we come to Scripture that we can actually hear the voice of Jesus speak to us. That's how we receive grace. That makes sense? But can I suggest, finally, begins with Scripture. If you want grace, turn to Scripture. It's about a Saviour. If you want grace in your life, get to know your Saviour. It's about sovereignty. Trust in God's sovereignty and plan. But it actually all begins. Where did it all begin in this chapter? When they met, it began with a supper. It began with a meal. Do Did we read that? Did it read, they met together and they had a meal? Verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. Wow. The Redeemer is telling the foreigner and the woman and the servant to come and have a meal with him. To come and have a meal with him so that she can enter into fellowship with him, so that she can have sustenance and help for the day ahead, so that she can have all that she needs, that she can satisfy her thirst, that she can meet all her needs that she reads right there, right then, with Boaz, her Redeemer. And that's what Jesus invites us to. And that's what he calls us to as we turn to Scripture and we know that we should have this supper. As we meet Jesus in this supper. As we trust in the sovereignty of God as we share this together. We have this supper. Right now, I need sustenance. I need the bread of life. I need forgiveness. I need acceptance. I need God's abundant grace. And it's enough for today. And actually it's enough because she took some home. It's enough for tomorrow. And it's enough for Naomi, and it's enough for our families, and it's enough for our workplaces. It's enough. And it's enough to keep us harvesting. It's enough to keep us keeping on. And it begins with a supper. And we're going to share this meal together. We're sharing this in obedience to Scripture because Scripture says we should do this. We're sharing it because we're told that when we share this meal, Jesus is here. So we're here to meet our Saviour. And we're here because we have come here. And God has brought you here today in his sovereignty to pour out his grace into your life, to pour out his provision for you today. So we come to this supper. And it's at this supper, by faith, God's abundant grace is poured into our life. Maybe you've never actually met Jesus. Maybe you've never received his grace. Maybe you just feel everything's against you. You've never actually known that Jesus is for you. Well, can I invite you to this table to meet Jesus? But maybe you do know Jesus, but life is really tough at the moment. You feel poverty of spirit. You feel your circumstances are overwhelming. This is the place of grace as well. Let Scripture lead you to meet Jesus and know the sovereignty of God in your life. But receive what you need today. And as we share this, God will meet you. God's grace will be poured out in your life. Some of you will have an assurance of salvation you've never had before. Some of you will receive a joy that you don't know where it comes from. Some of you will receive a peace. Some of you will receive physical healing. I don't know what you need today, but your Saviour does because he's looking at you. He sees you. He knows you. He knows what's going on. He knows all about you. And he wants to pour grace into your life and therefore come round this table that he may meet you, he may fellowship with you, and he may give you grace. Who needs grace this morning? Not a rhetorical question. Anyone in need of grace this morning? I am. It's me. Well, this table is for you. If you're not in need of grace this morning, don't worry too much about this table. But it's really for those who need grace, which we all do.